Well, Passover was near, John has told us. Passover was at hand. Now, this was the celebration commemorating God's deliverance of his people, God's liberation of his people, God's redemption of his people from bondage, from slavery in Egypt, centuries before. And Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus was in the capital to keep this feast, to keep the Passover. He had just entered the city. You looked at this last week. Crowds of people had gathered to meet Jesus, thronged to greet Jesus, waved palm branches at Jesus, crying, "Hosanna," welcoming Jesus like a king to the king's city. While this was going on, while Jesus was entering the city, while the crowds thronged to him, while they waved palm branches crying, "Hosanna," the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they looked on in envy. They looked on with jealousy. They looked on with hatred, with murder boiling in their hearts. And they spoke these words to one another. This is from verse 19, not part of our reading today, part of last week's reading. They said to one another, "Look, the world has gone after him. Look, the whole world has gone after Jesus." Now, John immediately follows this comment. John immediately follows this seemingly exaggerated statement by telling us that there were some Greeks looking for Jesus. "Look, the whole world is going after him." And John tells us some Greeks were looking for him. And by Greeks, John means Greek-speaking Gentiles. By Greeks, John means God-fearing Gentiles, non-Jews. In other words, the world. The world. In Jesus' day, there were Gentiles, there were non-Jews who were attached to the Jewish way of life, who worshiped the Lord without being a full convert. And we are told that these Greeks were in Jerusalem to worship. They were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And perhaps they had heard all the buzz about Jesus within the city, or perhaps they saw Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Either way, they wanted to meet Jesus. And so they approached Philip. Philip, a disciple. Philip, a follower of Jesus. Philip, one of the two disciples who had a Greek name, they approach Philip, and we find their words to him in verse 21. These are their words to him. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, these are not only the words of these two Greeks, of these Greeks, but they are the words of the world. Now, whether it's actually uttered or not, whether it's actually acknowledged or not, this is the cry of every human heart. This is the ultimate longing of every human heart. This is what our restless hearts, our wandering hearts seek, to see Jesus, to be with Jesus, to know Jesus. For when you see Jesus, you see God. When you are with Jesus, you are with God. When you know Jesus, you know God. And that is how God made you. That is how God created you, how he fashioned you, how he designed your heart. And not only you, not only your heart, but every human heart. To know him. To be with him, to be filled by him. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, Philip and Andrew is the second disciple with a Greek name. Philip and Andrew bring the request to Jesus. But interestingly, Jesus does not offer a direct answer. Instead, this request by the Greeks becomes a trigger to describe events that will take place in a matter of hours, to describe events that will transform the world, Jew and Gentile alike. Look at verse 23 again. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus announces that the climactic hour had come. His hour. The hour that he had spoken of many times before in John's gospel. The hour that was to be the fruition of his ministry, the fulfillment of his ministry, the purpose of his presence. Jesus says is now at hand. It's here. Jesus is about to be glorified. Jesus is about to be exalted. Jesus is about to be lifted up. And this glorification, this exaltation, this lifting up of Jesus was foretold centuries before through the prophet Isaiah. Our Old Testament reading was from Isaiah 52 this morning. And in this passage, in Isaiah 52, continuing on to 53, Isaiah speaks of a servant. He's talking about a servant, God's servant, one whom God would send, a servant that God would send to his people who would be high and lifted up, who would be exalted. And Isaiah is talking about Jesus. Jesus, who in a matter of hours, who very soon from our passage today will be arrested, will be beaten, will be mocked, will be tried, will be sentenced to death, the death of a criminal, the death of an enemy of the state, namely crucifixion. You see, Jesus will be lifted up. He will be lifted up on a cross. He'll be raised on a cross. He'll be nailed to a cross. He will suffer on a cross. He'll die on a cross. And in this suffering is his glory. In this death is his exaltation. Because upon the cross, on the cross, the glory of Jesus Christ shines. It's the glory of mercy. It's the glory of grace. It's the glory of love. Because on the cross, Jesus displays the very love of God. Jesus manifests the very love of God. Jesus reveals the very heart of God for you, for the world. And he does so not through words, he does so not through ideas, he does so not through feelings, but in an act. Indeed. Sacrificially. In that he would serve you, he would serve you unto death. In that he would die, that God made man would die for you, on your behalf, in your place, so that you might live, so that you might have life, so that many might live, so that many might have life. Well, to illustrate this, Jesus employs a truth found in the natural world. Jesus talks about a kernel of wheat. A seed. A seed dies. A seed is buried. A seed is planted in the ground. But through death comes life. Out of death comes fruit. The death of one seed results in multiplication. The death of one seed results in an abundance, a rich harvest. And Jesus is saying that can be you. That can be you, part of the Father's harvest. Having abundant life, bearing fruit, seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus through his death. So how? There's a good question. How? How is this abundant life yours? How is this abundant life anyone's? How do you bear fruit? How do you know Jesus? How can your heart, your restless, wandering heart, how can it find rest? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 26, he says, follow me. Follow me. These are the words that Jesus utters to every disciple. These are the words that Jesus utters to everyone who would have the life that he brings, everyone who would bear fruit, everyone who would know him. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Jesus bids you to follow him. And following Jesus begins with faith. Following Jesus begins with faith. To follow Jesus, you must have faith. Faith in him. Belief in him. Faith, first of all, in who he is. That he is the God-man. That he is the Word made flesh. That he is the eternal Son who has come. Who has entered his creation. Who has come seeking you out. And secondly, you must have faith in what he has done for you. Faith in who he is and what he has done. That out of love for you, he was lifted up. That out of love for you, he was exalted. Out of love for you, he has died. Crucified. Following Jesus begins with faith. And then it continues with a desire to serve him. It continues with a heart that longs to serve him. In other words, following Jesus means that you are his servant. You're a servant of a servant. And if we're honest about it, who really wants to be a servant of a servant? Who aspires to be a servant? Who desires from the depth of your heart, who desires to be a servant? We can be honest about that. Because serving means that you are attending another. Serving means that you are focused on another. And if you're like me, your heart suddenly cries out, well, what about me? What about what I want? What about what I want to do? What about where I want to go? What about what I want to be? Who I want to be? What about my time and my desires and my wants and my money and my plans and my life? Well, Jesus says following him can't be like that. Following him can't be like that. Serving Jesus means it can't be about you. Look at verse 25 again. Jesus says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus says, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you hate your life, you'll keep it forever. So what does he mean? What does he mean about hating my life? Does he mean that I got to wake up every morning hating every day? That I got to wake up every morning and I got to hate my family and hate my friends and hate my work and hate my food and hate my clothes and hate my home? Now, honestly, some of y'all may hate your life right now. Some of y'all might be there. You might hate your life and you don't want it to last forever. But Jesus isn't talking about that. Does Jesus mean I can't wake up loving every day and loving my job and my home and my family and my friends and my studies? But Jesus isn't talking like that. Jesus is not saying you must live a life of self-loathing, rejecting the blessings that God gives you. He's not saying that. Jesus is talking about focus here. He's talking about center. He's talking about what your life is focused upon and what your life is centered upon. In saying you must hate your life, Jesus is saying you must die to yourself. You've got to die to self. Hating your life means that you must die to being self-focused. Hating your life means you must die to being self-seeking and self-centered. where life is all about you, where you are the focus, where you are the center, where you matter the most, where you seek to be exalted. In other words, hating your life means dying to self-addiction. It means living selflessly, outward, just like Jesus. Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry was not about him. It wasn't about him at all. Jesus' life and his ministry was about the Father. Jesus desired to glorify the Father. Jesus desired to glorify the name of the Father. He desired to love his Father through obedience and through suffering and through death. Jesus' life and ministry were not about him. It was about you. It was about you. Jesus loved you and desired for you to have life, abundant life, and fruitful life through his obedience and through his suffering and through his death. Following Jesus means we serve him. And we serve the servant by being like him, imitating him, dying to self, and living to bear fruit. And living to bear fruit means living our life focused on the Father, loving the Father, giving glory to the Father for what he has done for us through the Son. And it means living our lives focused on others, our neighbor, those around us. Selfless, just like Jesus. Now, following Jesus then means that you look at your life with new eyes. You look at your life with new perspective. You look at your life from a different vantage point. No longer from the center. No longer the focus, because now Jesus Christ is. Now Jesus is. Well, following Jesus, first of all, begins with faith. Following Jesus, second of all, means you serve the servant. And finally, following Jesus means you will be with him. Following Jesus means you will be with him. Look at verse 26 again. Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also." When you follow Jesus, when you follow the eternal Son of God, you are where he is. You're with him. He is with you. Which means this. When life couldn't be better, when you are healthy, when your relationships are healthy, when your work is fruitful, when your studies are fruitful, when you feel fulfilled, when you feel blessed, when you feel happy, Jesus is there. He is present. He's with you. And it also means this: when life is hard, when you are struggling, when you're struggling with your classes, when you are struggling at work, when you are struggling with your relationships, when you're struggling in your marriage, when you're struggling with your children, when you're struggling with your parents, when you're struggling with your health, when you're struggling with an addiction, when you're struggling with depression or temptation or sin or regret, Jesus is there. He is present with you. When you're paralyzed, when you're confused, when you don't know which way to go, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, when you're in sorrow, when you're lonely, when you feel like you're sinking, Jesus is there. He is present. He is with you. And when you are dying, when you close your eyes in death, when you breathe your last, Jesus is there, present with you. And even after death, after you follow Jesus into death, after you follow Jesus through death, you will be with him. You will see him with the Father, face to face, in heaven, in the Father's house. And it's there that your restless heart, your wandering heart, will find rest at last. For when you follow Jesus, you follow him unto eternal life. And you can take your place in the house of the Father because that's where you belong. Listen again to the last words of verse 26. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Think of that. Just think of that. If you follow Jesus, if you serve Jesus, the Father will honor you. Think of it. Because of Jesus, because of what he has done, because of his suffering, because of his death, because of his love, the Father will honor you. The maker of heaven and earth will honor you. The Lord, the giver of life, will honor you. The one that you are to glorify with your whole life will honor you on account of his Son, on account of Jesus. The Father will honor you as a daughter, as a son, Jesus as your brother. In Christ, you belong to the household of God forever, forever, eternally, forever. Is your heart's desire to see Jesus? Are you following him? Are you following the one exalted upon a cross? Are you serving the servant? Are you serving the servant? Are you bearing fruit? Will you be honored by the Father? That is my prayer for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who was exalted on the cross, who was lifted up upon the cross. And through him, we are yours, your children. Through him, you honor us, which is an absolutely astounding thought. You honor us through Jesus. Father, give us hearts that desire to follow him. Follow him right now. Follow him in the next hour. Follow him in the next day. Follow him in the next weeks and months and years, until we reach glory, until we take our place in your house, the place that Jesus has gone on to prepare for us with you, when we shall see him face to face. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.